I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's a Riverdale after show. Jughead's on trial. Did he plagiarize? Heck no. He's a writer. Doesn't need to do that. Hiram's bench pressing. Check it out now, everybody. There you go. Hiram's bench pressing. I gotta get that in because Mark Consuelos making those gains on the weights. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Riverdale After Show, breaking down every episode of Riverdale, airing Wednesday nights on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
And I'm Katie Kawamoto. I'll be in the chat, and I want to give some shout-outs to Jassy Jones, External Shockwave, Forever Mambaverse 24, Tony Stark, and others. Thank you for being here tonight.
And I am Dinterra Terrell.
And making us look good and sound even better, Ryan in the booth.
Ryan in the booth. Excited for, yet again, an incredible song intro from Frank Moran.
No.
Let's just get a quick round of applause.
Please, no.
Just amazing. Cannot wait to hear all about what's going on in Riverdale.
Folks, yes. And, of course, like us on Facebook. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel while you're there. And as Katie mentioned, she's got the chat up and running. You're already in there sharing your thoughts. Keep doing that. But if you're watching after we stream live, comment down below. We're going to break down this episode. We're going to do some news and gossip, you know, some predictions. Of course, we'll rank our class president and class clown. So feel free to start hopping in the chat and sharing who you would nominate for either of those titles. But before we go any further, we'll just do a quick overall impressions of the episode. Dinterra, what'd you think?
I'm like, where do I begin? How do I wrap my head around all of this? I wasn't expecting that. Well, I was expecting that ending, but, you know, when it happens, I, like, got a little teary. I shed a tear. I think I'm still a little sad. That's why I can't gather my emotions right now, you know?
Okay. All right. Katie?
I liked this episode a lot. I'm going to give it, like, an 8.5, 9 out of 10.
Whoa!
Yeah, I know. However, it is still just too much to happen in one episode. That's just my only, like, negative thing, like, really particularly. So it's just jumping around too much. And we were talking about how there's no show next week, no episode on next week, and we're like, oh no, how are they going to end this one? And now we know why they were going to leave it on a cliffhanger to us. And now
suspense.
It's the dreaded moment I've been dreading all season.
Well, no, I thought that was the musical episode.
Yeah.
That's a solid point.
Yeah, that's the one you said.
Yeah, okay.
It was a episode of rapid acceleration. And but also finally getting to something we knew was going to happen for the longest time.
Right.
Why don't we jump into it? I mean, the big through line for this entire episode is that Jughead is, because of everything that happened last episode, is now facing expulsion from the Quillen Skulls, as well as possibly losing the contract for the Baxter Brothers. And he's got 5 days. 5 days to write a novel. And it's due by the Ides of March. Does anybody care about the Ides of March? I mean, Caesar and all that stuff. But does anybody in your day-to-day life, Dinterra, are you ever thinking like, oh yeah, March 15th, that's the Ides of March?
Yeah, it's going to be a no for me. sorry, guys. Yeah, it's going to be a solid no for me. I was really frustrated. I'm always frustrated with Betty and Jughead. I feel like they're so smart, but they lack common sense. Like with Jughead, I feel like he continuously, like, brings a knife to a gunfight. Like, even when he packed that little butter knife, I kept calling it a butter knife, and then put on his bunny mask, and then he's like, I feel like Brett always outsmarts him. Let's go in the back of the woods. Yeah, let's do it. Sir, why are y'all going in the back of the woods? It's dark outside, and then Betty tries to confront. It was just, I'm like, come on, guys. Use some common sense. Always. For me.
You know, I feel like this was the big Ocean's 12. Mm-hmm. Of episode of the season, where basically, if you've seen Ocean's 12, it's basically, it looks like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, the rest of the crew all look like chumps throughout the whole movie until you find out at the end, like, oh no, they knew what they were doing the whole time. They were really pulling something over on who was supposedly the villain getting away with it all the whole time. So I feel like right now this episode is basically making it look like all the Stonewall Prep people have gotten away with it, and then you're going to find out by the end of the season, oh no, we knew, we set you guys up. And now everything's going to come tumbling down. That's my thought.
Look at you with the early predictions. Okay.
That's mine. I'm just throwing it out right now. There. Yeah, there you go. Because I felt like it was frustrating this episode. You're watching everybody lose constantly.
Yes.
But I feel like you need to get them to that low point where they think all is lost to really find out, like, oh, no, they knew what they're doing the whole time.
Well, I feel like you can get them to that low point, but get them to that low point where we have a an episode to follow up on the following week. Not waiting a whole week anyway. Oh. So now it's lingering in my mind, and they made me mad for this episode. So
now, Katie, I know you've been counting down, because we've been teased throughout the season. Yes. All these flash forwards. We finally get to it. Was it as satisfying as you would have hoped?
I feel like I didn't want it to just be one of these things that happened really quickly, and it's like, oh, wait, now he's dead. And it was a little bit, like, no buildup. I didn't have time to process it, because it was the very last moment of the show. But, I mean, I'm assuming next week they're going to flashback one more time and, like, show us kind of what maybe happened, but it's hard to know. But I really don't... It's stressful. It's stressful. I don't like it. I'm okay with admitting it.
Would it be less stressful if you knew there was an episode next week? Or the fact that it's a two-week wait is making you like, ugh.
It makes it more stressful, because it's you're used to that at the mid-season finale, not halfway through the second half of the season.
That's true. That's like they've only been on like a month, yeah. And now we're already going to this?
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this. Scheduling department.
I think we can reach out to the CW network and get them to just... preempt it and just put on the new episode.
Yeah,
new
yeah,
episode. Yeah.
Head of all scheduling, right. I'm with it.
Or at least, like, they didn't even give us a trailer for the next episode. No. Did you? I don't know if you guys noticed that. Yeah. Usually there's a trailer after the episode. They didn't even have one this week, so they don't even have any sort of tease about what we're going to get in 2 weeks. Yeah. So that's...
So at least your mind just wondering. Yeah. You're creating all these stories and all these... Yeah. Like, I feel you. You know what? I feel you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask both of you, do you feel, because it seems like it's Jughead up against the rest of the people in the Quill and Skull Club, do you feel all of them are equally as involved with everything, or do you feel there are some leaders amongst everybody?
Nope. I feel like they're all equally involved. Even if they're bystanders and they're not saying anything, you're still involved because you're leaving him out there to dry by himself. So you're not standing for anything.
I feel like there has to be one person leading the charge, but I don't know that there's only one endgame by the people at Stonewall. I feel like they kind of all have a little bit different piece that they're trying to add to it. Like, they have one big goal, but then each of them has different goals as well, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's one big bad, but there is a big bad at the same time.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I'm also wondering how the four of them in the Quill and Skull Club relate with Mr. DuPont. Betty tries to posit to Donna that he's the real master behind the scenes, and he's kind of forcing all of you to kind of follow along. Mm-hmm. Do either of you buy that?
Mm-hmm. I do not trust him at all.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't trust him.
He clearly has some sort of prejudice against him and his family, even though he's trying to not act like he has some sort of problem with them, but he definitely does. And so I don't know that I believe he's the one dealing with everybody else in the club. But, yeah, I don't. Something's going on. Something fishy is going on.
Can we talk about Jughead's just horrible high school experience? Like, this sucks to me in high school. He's going through this. I'm like, jeez.
But, I mean, I guess, other than what happened this episode, I mean, the end result, even if he faces leaving Stonewall Prep, mm-hmm. he still got into Yale. So,
oh, did
I mean,
he?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as long as he's not dead.
Well, unless it gets revoked because of his essay.
Right, that part.
True.
Mm. So do you think, is he dead?
No way.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. He's dead. Yeah, he can't go, but wait, is he dead?
Tony Stark says, I think everyone is still involved with what happened to Jughead, but Donna might be the smart one, while Brett is the muscle or the cocky one.
I'm trying to figure, like, Jane. It's Jane. I feel like she... I mean, we see the other member, Steve, step up this episode, which is like the first time we really see him mm-hmm. get his hands dirty, saying, yes. Oh, yeah, I feel like Jughead plagiarized his short story that got him into Yale off of my short story. But Jane, I can't recall her really instigating anything or accusing anybody. I feel like she's just been there.
But you never know. The quiet ones, you got to watch.
That's yeah, true. Very true. So true.
It's been Jane all along.
Right, yes. She's been working behind
the scenes.
She's
watching everybody.
Yeah.
She's watching everybody.
You never know. She probably had her little sticky fingers on his laptop.
That's true. I mean, the information that could acquit Jughead of these plagiarism charges is on his old laptop, which is stolen, but he can't find it anywhere in Stonewall Prep. If you had stolen someone's computer and you were trying to frame them, would you keep that computer? Wouldn't you just destroy it?
they were smarter than what the few mess ups that have been made this season. They were smarter to be like, this is not going to be in the room. We're going to, that's probably like at the bottom of a lake somewhere.
I can't imagine you keep it intact.
I mean, unless he has some evidence or some stories or something on there, and they're like, let's keep this. Well, I mean, I wouldn't put a pass on. They kept all those tapes. They made tapes and kept a whole vault of them, so.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
We do see Brett has moved those VHS tapes, those highly coveted VHS tapes, which, you know, even if you found a stash of VHS tapes, like, I couldn't play one right now. It would take me a while to find, like, an old VHS player. Do I go to, like, a pawn shop or search eBay?
You know what? You don't have to look any further because I still have my dual VHS and DVD player from college. So you can just use mine.
All right.
Do you still use it?
No. But it is in, like, my little storage closet, like, in a box. But it works just fine.
All right. Okay. There you go. So, folks, if you have any VHS tapes you'd love to be able to watch, just send them to Dantera.
Send them my way.
Yeah. Junkin gets a chance to go on trial to, to stand against these charges that have been put against him and see if he can get himself acquitted. But he decides he's, you know, in addition to trying to prove that as best he can, he's also going to expose all, as he says, those little bombs, those little toxic bombs. He's going to pop up like little genies, just open them up all over the place. And Brett says no, because if you do that, guess what? I actually did videotape you and Betty getting your freak on, and I will leak that. So I will ask either of you, because certainly, I mean, there are sex tapes have been released of celebrities and of other people throughout the, all over the internet. There you go. Yeah. Is that really the right thing to be reggaeton air horning?
I slipped. I made that button.
Okay, buddy. All right.
It was my bad. Right in the booth.
I mean, Betty has a good point. Like, she is the daughter of the Black Hood. That's already a huge scarlet letter that she's got. Would a sex tape be... A sex tape can't touch that. Do you agree with that?
No.
A sex tape is worse than being the daughter of the Black Hood?
Oh, well... can it be equally yoked? I mean, well...
It could.
I think the sex tape would be more worse than being the daughter of the Black Hood, because at least you're like, that wasn't you. Per se, you know, like the Black Hood, you're just associated to them and not by choice, you know. But a sex tape is like your own decision. That's like you put something, you know, you did something. Not saying it was bad, you know, it got recorded, but I'm just saying that's actually like your actions behind it. I feel like with the Black Hood, she could at least be like, that was my dad. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, that was him. He was crazy.
I'm also wondering, like, how good that tape is. I mean, he's got that camera taped in the room.
I thought you were going to say how good she was. I was like, oh.
I mean, it's on a VHS tape, recorded on a camera from across the room, kind of buried under some clothes and books to kind of hide it. How great is the quality of this tape? I mean, I don't know.
But you do know with the VHS, I think you can strip it down and make it high quality HD. You know, you could transfer it.
Hey, the nerd knows what's up. Scott.
Yeah, you know. I mean. So, I mean, and who knows? Brett, you should have saw me. I was just under the table just punching my fist against my hand, because he just irks me and makes me so mad and so angry. And I really need someone to take him down by the end of the season, or else I'm joining Riverdale's cast and I'm taking them down myself.
Yeah.
All right. You guys heard it here.
That's right. I mean, his comeuppance is only a matter of time, I feel. It's going to happen. I feel like Jughead and Betty will come out of victorious by the end of the season.
Jughead's a goner.
She's already up. R.I.P. Jughead. R.I.P.
I feel like Betty, just given everything that she's done and possibly capable of, I feel like it isn't worse to her. Like, yeah, obviously it's going to be a scandal, but at the same time, someone else filmed them. That's kind of a big problem, and I'm sure Betty would be like, I will find out who filmed this, and I will get you, it would be her in the tape, but what he did is illegal on multiple counts. Like, first of all, like, underage, second of all, like, invading someone's privacy. So, I mean, I don't really know that that's technically illegal, but, either way, they are underage. So leaking that, and if it comes back to you, you could get in big trouble. And I feel like she would, the investigator in her would be like, nah, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. But once it's out. And I feel like it's still an embarrassing moment for people to see your private parts. And
but she knew that that was, she knows that they were taped. Because when she asked Jughead, she was like, he threatened this, didn't he? So I think she was prepared for it, if that makes any sense.
But can you really get prepared for that, for the world to
see? I don't think technically, but I think in her brain, she was prepared for it. You always say things, you might say things, and then it happens, and you're like, oh,
yeah, I was about to say,
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with it.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's your Pamela Andersons, your
Kim Kardashians.
Kim Kardashians, your, I think Brandy maybe has one. Like, I'm acting like some sort of expert. Ryan, save me with a reggaeton air horn at this moment.
Oh, right.
Thank you. But I feel like it's their celebrity status that makes it more interesting for somebody to watch. For somebody that was, for a nobody, essentially. I mean, I guess.
Hey, we're all somebodies.
We're all somebodies. And we're assuming that, you know, she doesn't become famous sometime later in her life, where somebody wants to go back in the past and, like, dig out this illegally filmed sex tape, which seems awful. This seems like a terrible topic, folks. Why are we dwelling on this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's move on. But Jughead, knowing that Brett's going to release this, he decides, rather than burn the house down at Stonewall Prep, he decides to quit, and he's going to leave Stonewall Prep. Do you feel like, do you applaud him standing up for Betty and protecting her honor, even at the cost of getting what might have worked for him?
No, I can definitely respect him standing up for Betty and her honor. And honestly, Stonewall Prep wasn't a good, like, it's a good look per se, but not for him. Everything that he's going through and everything he's enduring, I mean, you know, you can't put a price tag on peace of mind. Like, he has to worry about his roommate filming him. People are stealing laptops. They got the snake on the wall. Like, it's just always so much. That place, do y'all notice, like, even the atmosphere is so dark and gloomy, and it just reeks of just evilness. So, I feel like he made the right decision for his sanity, his peace of mind, and just to finish out the year strong, just bow out.
Yeah.
You tried, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, because even FP says, hey, Jughead, why didn't you fight? You should have done it. And Jughead just tells us, FP, you don't know these people. The fix was in.
Yeah.
Kitty, even knowing the fix was in, should he have stepped aside, or do you still fight even though you're still going to lose?
I thought he was going to, I literally typed it for predictions, but since it already happened, we can't be a prediction anymore. I thought he was going to fight, and then that would be him and Betty's undoing, like him fighting for it versus fighting for them. And then he didn't do that, and I was like, all right, he has more going on. He knows, he's one step ahead of the game, even though it doesn't look like it, I think. So it looks like he surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
Did he really, though? I don't think so.
Well, if that's the case, I can appreciate Jughead knowing that, like, you know, it looks like to us, like, oh, he gave up. But like you said, he's mm-hmm. one step ahead of the game because he has a plan. Unlike other people on the show who we'll get to, who I'm tired of them just always showing their hand.
Which I think I predicted a couple weeks ago that I thought Jughead was playing his own game. I think I said that. So he clearly is. He told Betty he has a plan. She just won't tell her what it is.
Yeah. So. Which I feel like is everything we didn't see this episode. Which I think was revealed towards the rest of the season. Conversations that we think they didn't have, but in actuality they did have, and now they're just acting to try to fool Brett, Donna, and the rest of the Stonewall Prep gang. Mm. Yeah, we're going to see a lot of those. But my question to that will be is how much are Archie and Veronica aware of everything that's happening? Or are they just kind of like, oh yeah, this is real, right?
All the plotting and planning these kids doing, no, they're in on it too.
You think, all right, honestly, both of you tell me, if you had a big plan and it was, you know, secrecy was paramount and making everybody believe what they were seeing was really happening,
mm-hmm.
would you tell Archie Andrews? Because I would not.
Why?
You know, he would not be able to act naturally. You know he wouldn't. He'd be like one of those guys that all of a sudden when he sees the cameras on him, stiffens up and it's like, no.
They're like, that one knows something.
Yes. I would not trust Archie Andrews.
That would probably be me.
I can't say I wouldn't trust Archie. I definitely wouldn't trust Veronica. I don't know about Betty either, because Betty has a habit of, even if she doesn't say things, she'll get involved and try to do something, which could eventually mess it up. I wouldn't say she would tell people, but I don't know if I would tell Archie.
I couldn't trust him.
I don't know. They're best friends, but at the same time, I don't know.
See, I guess I'm just the naive Nancy up here, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll tell him. I'll tell Veronica, too. And I love Betty, so I'll tell her, too. Meanwhile, the plan is going to go all the way down. It's going to be because I opened up my big mouth and told all of them.
Welcome back, Billie Jean Girl 24, by the way. Says, Archie can't keep a secret to save his life.
I would agree. I would trust that guy.
Some people agree. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in the flashbacks we've been shown throughout the season, mm-hmm. we see FP, you know, showing the body. So I feel like FP has to be involved. So I feel like at some point FP knows. So, but you know, he's a serpent. He's cool. He can do that. Archie, no, forget it. Forget it. And speaking of Archie Andrews, why don't we dive into our boy Archie Andrews this episode? He's wrestling with, you know, being a high school guy who's not going to get a chance to graduate with his friends. Did you have anybody that was in your class that didn't graduate with you? Just kind of held back and had to do summer school or anything?
In high school or college?
High school.
I was about to say, because in college, you know.
Oh, so everybody's on their different plans. Yeah, I'm on the five, I'm like, six.
Right, I was about to say, I was on the five, so I definitely didn't graduate with my people. That's actually good. I actually did know someone. We didn't go to the same school, though, but we were really good friends, and she wasn't able to walk, you know, all of us, even though we were at different schools, we all like, oh, graduation is June 6th, June 7th, June 8th. And she was like, I'll be not there at any of them. So
before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Yeah, I mean, Archie does ask the principal to say, hey, can I at least walk with my friends? And I think I agree with the sentiment of the principal, but he could have said it a lot less condescending, I would think. Whereas, it's like, I can't let somebody do something that they haven't earned. That wouldn't be honest, would it, Archie?
I wasn't surprised by his reaction at all. No, Mr. Honey's not
a nurturer.
No. He's more just like, nope, this is how it is.
He's so dry.
That's true.
You know. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Kerr Smith, a good actor. I was hoping, it feels like it's just a really big part for him. I was hoping if you're going to cast somebody like Kerr Smith, I think we're going to be seeing more of him. And I feel like we've not gotten enough of him to kind of, in a sense, kind of justify him in that role, if that makes sense.
You don't think him being like the disciplinary?
On certain
episodes and in certain situations, maybe they highlight certain situations to bring him out, you know?
Yeah, I like how they bring him out for this, or Betty getting busted for supposedly cheating on the quiz show. But Archie almost getting killed in the high school. Nothing.
Where the hell was he?
Where was he at? He was like, yeah, so I'm going to, all right, I'm out. Like the little meme, SpongeBob meme. He's like, yeah. All right, I'm going to head out.
That was the middle of a school day. And nope, nowhere to be found. But in addition to finding out that he's not going to be able to walk with his friends, he's also wrestling as a high school senior trying to balance two jobs. Running the community center as well as Andrews Construction.
He has so much on his plate. These responsibilities and, wow, like I said, these kids are growing up fast.
But I feel like with the difference between him and Veronica is that what he's doing seems more realistic. You know, his dad's gone. He has a family business. He was thrown into this and he doesn't have a choice. And anytime you, like, I mean, I haven't lost a parent, but, you know, there is things that he has to do that his dad not being around does affect. And I felt like naturally everything he's doing makes sense to me and doesn't seem unrealistic to me.
I would agree with you, except the going out here fighting crime part. That part,
but that kind of got pushed by the wayside. He's not doing that anymore.
Right, exactly.
Right? So,
right.
Yeah. I agree with you.
He wrestles with it, at least comes up with the idea halfway through the episode that, hey, I'll sell Andrew's Construction to somebody that I don't like, but my dad did. So I let him take over that and use the money from that to get Tom Keller to then pay him a good salary so he can run the community center.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a win-win of a plan, but in the end, he doesn't do it. Do you think Archie was right or wrong in not selling Andrew's Construction.
I think your intuition never steers you wrong. So I feel like he made the right decision. And although his dad, his father liked him, his father isn't here right now. So like she said, Archie is left picking up the pieces. And I think he's doing the best that he can do with what he has and making the most educated decisions based on that knowledge. So
yeah.
I mean, Katie, where does family legacy come into it? I mean, it's certainly, it's a legacy of Andrew's Construction.
Yeah.
But also, as Hiram pointed out to him, it's like, you've also, Fred Andrews Community Center, named after him, that's a legacy as well.
Yeah.
How much do you let a parent's, a past parent's legacy kind of override what your future should be?
It's a fine line, for sure. Because, you know, you want to be doing your own thing, but still make sure your family has the staple in the community like his dad had. So I feel like that's just a tough decision. I don't know how I would deal with that situation if I had to do it. So I feel like he's literally thinking out, trying to do what's best for both of them, both him and his dad's legacy. And no wonder it's hard. That's a hard decision to make.
I mean, it is true. I mean, I guess everybody's got to decide, are you living for your parent or are you living for yourself? And or is there some kind of combination of the two that can satisfy both?
Well, I think it's sort of like a continuation because, you know, you're living for your parents, but you're also trying to establish your own self while also still maintaining that legacy and building generational wealth for the little Archie Jr. that, you know, could be coming in the next few years. So I feel like everything is sort of a continuation of it all. So you definitely still want to lean on the shoulders of your parents' legacy while still building yours. So then the next person, just like his father passed the baton to him, now he's sort of figuring it out so he could eventually pass the baton to his kids.
I think if I had to choose between the two of them, I think Archie should stick with the community center. It seems like that's where he just is, seems more naturally inclined. The Andrew's Construction is great, but I mean, I think that was something his father did and he might occasionally help out, but I don't think his true passion is in that business.
Yeah.
I would have to agree with you on that. And it seems like it's more of a burden, just trying to figure out salaries and contracts and everything. But with the community center, I feel like, although they haven't showed it these last few episodes, he turns into a different person. Like I said, he's like the crime fighter. So that's my only thing against, you know, the community center.
Well, as I said, he got advice from Hiram. And we see Hiram's secrets start, how that his the effects of his degenerative illness start affecting the rest of the family. Hermosa and Hermione, they want to just kind of protect him. And Veronica realizes, oh, yeah, maybe the best way to help him is to just really tick him off. So is irritating Hiram truly the best medicine?
Well, it seems that way. He was a little triggered. He was definitely a little triggered. I hate this, like, this dynamic between her and her parents.
I was just about to say that.
I'm so over it. And then when did Hermana, the sister, when did she get in good with the family? Like,
well, I mean, her and her dad are apparently really super close, so.
Yeah.
And then I think that Hermione just deals with it. She just accepts it for what it is.
I think so, too.
So I think she's done with just trying to fight things that Hiram does and just being, you know, accepting, you know, another daughter and all this different stuff, which is a little bit disappointing. But at the same time, like I said, this dance between Veronica and Hiram, I'm just like...
It has to stop.
You gotta move on from this. It's just dated.
And like she was the one I was referring to, always, like, showing her hand. Now is this... Yeah. Is this latest scenario that got her father triggered? Now, is this just a plot? Is it real? Like, what's the dynamic behind it?
I feel like, I mean, certainly Veronica is certainly guilty of always tipping her hand, telling Hiram exactly what she's going to do. But I think this time it was done with the intent to intentionally rile him up so that he would have something to fight at, as opposed to having to deal with what's happening to his own body. He's got something else to occupy his mind and his time. So I feel like this time, while she may be irritated with her issues with Hiram, I feel like this time was truly deliberate for, I'm telling you everything because it's going to make you fight, which is going to help you. But it's also going to ruin her business, probably. So I'm okay, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Yes. That's all I got.
I'm not a fan. And our last plot line, real quick, it kind of ties in with Betty and or Veronica and Hermione. It's a sting trying to be run on the Maple Club.
Can we talk about Rose's wig? Because that was the first thing I noticed. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I was like, like, I literally was like, are they serious with this wig? This wig action?
Yeah.
Not a great wig.
Most of the wigs aren't in the show, though.
That's true. Yep, I'll kick it off with Dark Betty. Not a great wig.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Folks, I feel like time is ticking, so why don't we do some class president, class clown? Katie, do we have any nominations from the chat?
I saw one earlier from Forever Mambaverse 24. He was saying the president was Archie for sticking up for Ronnie, and that the clown was Veronica's sister. So, and I'm going to say, honestly, I kind of agreed with the whole Archie, but I'm going to say Archie and Jughead for both sticking up for their other half. So I like both of them as the class president, and I still agree with the class clown for Veronica's sister. Like, really?
You think that
they don't know who you are? Like, Ronnie wouldn't have told you what you look like? Like, that was dumb.
That's right. They're laughing at you.
So my class clown is actually going to be Veronica. Because she's allowing the emotions to get the best of her. She doesn't know how to handle her emotions right now. And it's causing her, I feel, to think and act out irrationally. I mean, for me personally. And even like that little saucy, sexy, spicy scene at school with her and Archie, I was like, ooh, just in time for Valentine's Day, huh? And I'm going to say the class president is Archie, because I feel this episode, you saw some emotional growth and maturity, even when Veronica was like, we're just having fun. Let's stay out of the club. He's like, I can't do that. And then he even tries to have like an intervention with her and tries to talk to her like, yo, like, this isn't you. What's happening? So the fact that he even recognizes that in her, I'm like, good for you, Archie. Yes. And even trying, like I said, doing this whole adulting thing, he's, you know, trying to get contracts. He's trying to figure out, you know, the next steps. And even though he's not in college, I feel like,
yeah.
Oh, nice. Any more from the chat, Kitty?
External Shockwave says class president Archie, class clown Veronica. So most people are agreeing with Archie. Tony Stark said class president Veronica for pissing off Hiram, and class clown is Veronica's sister. So, and then Billie Jean Girl, class president has to be Jughead, and class clown Hermosa for thinking that a cheap white wig would fool anyone.
True.
Thank you.
We're pretty much all agreeing a little
bit. Absolutely,
yeah.
All right, folks, you know, the Riverdale news, even though we're going to be off next week, it never stops. Things keep happening. Let's go to Katie at the Riverdale news desk for more.
All right. So on Instagram yesterday, Zachary Levi reported via a post that he and Cole Sprouse will star in an upcoming music-driven comedy titled Undercover. Cole also posted about it. But it's by Lionsgate, and it will be directed by Steve Pink, who did Hot Tub Time Machine. And basically, it's Cole will be playing Ben, who is a misfit who leads a wedding cover band, and Zachary Levi's character joins up with that band. So it's going to be a lot of cover songs, from what Zach said in his post. So that there was a cover picture there on Instagram from the post. And then also, the cast of Riverdale posted, there was a lot of pictures from the Vanity Fair after party. They all looked super snazzy, so I figured we'd share. And I love, like, good red carpet, like, what does everybody wear type photos. So we have Cole and KJ there, and these are some awesome pictures too. They're like just beautiful, like they made them look just as good as they all do on the show. So looking all snazzy, and look at those dresses. I love the big huge sleeves, so they all look really really pretty. Yeah, they all went, and both Sprouse brothers were there, so that was kind of like a cool moment. Everybody got to see him supporting his brother. So yeah. And then lastly, I don't know if there's any more pictures. I think that's the last one. And lastly, Luke Perry was not mentioned in the In Memoriam segment of the Oscars. I don't know if you guys had heard about this, but he was left out. The Academy did release a statement explaining what goes into the process and added that time restrictions include who they can and cannot include. So it said, the Academy receives hundreds of requests to include loved ones and industry colleagues in the Oscars In Memoriam segment. An executive committee representing every branch considers the list and makes selections for the telecast based on the limited available time. They assured fans that all submissions are included on Oscar.com and will remain on the site throughout the year. I checked. it is up there. He is up there on the site. But it is still kind of a bummer because both him and the kid from Disney Channel, Cameron Boyce, is that his name? Yeah. So they weren't left out. But it was that was kind of like a big news. Everybody was like, why did he get left out? Like, he was in a nominated movie because he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and it wasn't in there. So.
Is it basically an extended version of what we see on the telecast?
In Memoriam? Online, there's like 100-something pictures of In Memoriam. Sweet. It's not a video. It's just their picture of there. But that was the statement they released about us. Everybody's been asking about it.
So. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I'm sure, I mean, other than Luke Perry and Cameron's family, I'm sure there are many other people, like you were saying, Katie, that would also love to have their loved ones included and weren't. So, folks, we got time right now to do some last minute predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I am going to actually say that Betty didn't kill Jughead. It was actually Donna. I'm just putting it on her. I don't like her either.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And a lot of people in the chat also do not think that Betty killed Jug, that something happened and is making it look like she got framed. So I think that, but I'm still going to stick with my prediction that Jughead still has other things that he planned for. And I was happy he put his serpent jacket back on, but all right, so.
I believe it is all a setup, and the best way for Jughead to really uncover everybody's dirt is if everybody thinks he's dead, so they're not even looking for him.
Yep.
So that's why he can pop out at the end of the season saying, ha-ha, here it is, guys, you're served. There you go.
But see what I'm saying? These 17-year-olds faking their own death? Oh, gosh.
That's probably why he put the mask on, so that everybody else at the party wouldn't know he was there.
There you go.
I like this. They need to hire us in the writer's room.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Again, if you're watching after a stream live, feel free to comment down below. Katie loves to read those late at night. Some of that nice Chianti. There you go. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us even after the show's over, Ryan, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Ryan Nilsen on Twitter, RYNILSEN, and at Ryan Nilsen on Instagram, _. Remember the _, Katie, _.
Dontara?
Look, me. So you can find me at Dontara Terrell on all social media, and let me spell that for you, DONTAIRATERRELL.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KT_Christine, or on the Batwoman After Show at 10:10 on Sunday nights, or on the Con Guy Show on Popcorn Talk Network at 10:10 on Monday nights.
Nice. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks. And we'll get this cliffhanger resolved. Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out then. See you later.
Thank you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.